risen triumphantly. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I love our liturgical structure and the church year. Speaking from the standpoint of our tradition, Lutheran pastors are not encouraged to be creative in choosing their own texts or creating their own sermon series topics. Rather, we have a church year. We have a liturgical structure which inherently serves the goal of preaching on the full counsel of God. This full counsel of God includes the lesser and special feast like the one we're celebrating today, Saint Michael and All Angels. This is not an incidental teaching. God chose to fill his holy word with the revelation of angels. The angels are important, and they serve what is most important, that you and I would know Jesus Christ and his salvation. More on this in a moment. In Lockyer's book, All the Angels in the Bible, he helps us to avoid two extremes when it comes to the study of angels or angelology. One grave danger is on the side of giving the holy angels too much attention, especially when it comes in the form of the terrible sin of worshiping angels or praying to angels. St. Paul, in the letter to the Colossians, warns against false teachers who insist on the worship of angels. That's Colossians 2, verse 18. And when St. John, in the book of Revelation, received the amazing vision and heard the Lord speak of his imminent coming, John fell down to worship at the feet of the angel showing him the vision. The holy angel immediately objected by saying, "You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." On the other hand, and the second grave danger, it's when we don't give enough attention to the teaching of the holy angels. Listen to this depressing and faithless attitude which Lockyer presents as a warning in his book to us. "We owe the angels, it is said by some, no duty or homage of worship, and as they are invisible things, we can never describe them with any certainty. We have, therefore, no interest in the matter." But simply put, to neglect the teaching of the angels is to neglect the very word of God. The Lord willed that we know about the angels and that we glorify the Lord and give him thanks and praise for them. Their importance, therefore, is inestimable. In our gospel text this morning from Matthew chapter 18, the main focus is on, as you heard just a little while ago, the little ones. And while the Lord brings forth an actual child in verse 2, the Lord is teaching us that the little ones are God's children who emulate the way of a real child who is completely dependent on a superior and who trusts in a superior. That is, they live in humility. You are the little ones, dear Christians. God is your father, and he loves you as his dear child. You humble yourselves by the Holy Spirit and God's grace as you trust in God and you depend on him through Christ alone. Now, what does this have to do with the angels? Towards the end of the same gospel today, we hear these words. "See that you did not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Complementary to this is Luke chapter 15, on the great joy in heaven over just one sinner who is constantly repenting and living in faith. The angels are associated with a relationship between humble servants and being in the presence of God. Because to truly worship God, to truly know God, is to know the grace of God for sinners. The angels are all about this humility. The angels witness the God of grace who receives you as a child of God. And as a result, the angels are supreme examples on how to live. Seek God's presence. Behold his salvation. Rejoice in all humility to be servants of the living God. Yes, even the mighty angels, just one of them, according to Scripture, more powerful than an entire human army. These angels humble themselves before the Almighty God from whom they derive all of their power and all of their authority. They know that they too, like you and me, are totally dependent on the Lord. And it is their delight, it is their purpose to serve the living God. And in their surging power, they know and they practice humility, the right way to live. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2, the mighty seraphim, whose title means burning ones or fiery ones, these great angels have six wings. In Isaiah chapter 6, however, when they come before the Lord of hosts and cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Two of their wings are used to cover their feet. Two of their wings are used to cover their faces. And two of their wings are flying. The picture is stunning and magnificent. These powerful, powerful servants of God that would send any one of us to the ground trembling with fear, yet they themselves show deepest reverence and humility before the Lord of glory. Oh, to be like the angels. I apologize that my picture came out so darkly, but the angel, the seraphim image is facing you in this picture. At the very bottom, you see that downcased spiral. Those are the two wings that are covering the feet of the angel. And then there are two covering the face again, and two that are flying. Again, oh, to be like the angels. And yet in our sin, we are lower in stature and power. We are still proud. Instead of covering ourselves in humility, our sin leads us not to be considerate of standing before the Lord of glory in proper covering. Our sin, however, leads us to be reckless and to use even the meager powers the Lord has permitted us, not to be in service to the Lord, not to focus on worship to the Lord as angels do, but rather to serve ourselves, not to live reverentially before God, but to seek honor for ourselves, not to cover ourselves in humility, but to cover and to clothe ourselves in pride. And while angels cover their feet and their faces, our feet rush to sin, and our faces, in accord with our sinful flesh, are covered with shame. But thanks be to God. The angels bring glad tidings to us, poor sinners who would otherwise be forever lost in their sin. And it was the angels, don't forget, the angels who said on Christmas Day, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The proclamation of the angels. The word angel, whether presented in the Hebrew malach or the Greek angelos, means messenger. This word is about their office. It tells us about what they do. And even in their vast and exciting ranks and the hierarchy included in Scripture that includes seraphim, cherubim, thrones, dominations, principalities, powers, virtues, archangels, angels, what they message more than anything else is Jesus. I had the good fortune of traveling to Greece in 2007. I was introduced to the fantastic Orthodox Christian tradition in their love for iconography. One of the most powerful depictions of angels are the icons of Michael and Gabriel. Here's an example of such icons, again, of Michael, whose name means who is like unto God, and Gabriel, whose name means the strength of God. You see the pictures there, but as you come up for Holy Communion, please also look at the icon I brought today. Of course, Michael bears the sword. The icons, however, are not truly Christian icons if they do not emphasize, the correct word is emphasize, Christ our Lord himself. So here is an example of one of the most celebrated themes in Orthodox iconography. The resurrection of the Lord, and here the risen Lord is raising up Adam and Eve from the grave. My icon of this image has Michael and Gabriel flanking the risen Christ. Their presence glorifies Jesus, not themselves, and reminds us that the angels are servants of God, just like you and me. But now let's take a moment and share specifically three things that show us in God's Word how the angels show God's grace to you. Number one, first of all, these powerful servants are sent to serve you. Wow, I just soaked that in for a moment. These powerful, mighty angels are sent to serve you. Please read with me Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. We read together as God's people. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Between this scripture and Matthew chapter 18 from our gospel today, the angels, for the little ones, the Christians like you, legitimize the concept you've heard many times, I'm sure, guardian angels. God sends them to serve and protect you. Imagine that. A servant of God, more powerful than a human army, God sends to serve you. I don't know, and I really don't. Maybe I was just extremely lucky that day. Maybe the ground was especially soft that day at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, at the U.S. Army Chaplain Training School. But when during my obstacle training course, I fell from a 30-foot wall after my boot got stuck in the cargo net, I thought, and the eyes of the drill sergeant who was standing on that wall also thought, as I saw his eyes, I was in deep trouble. I thought I was going to die. What happened next is to this day inexplicable to my mind. I felt as though I had landed on a bed. And to this day, I can't explain how I didn't even suffer a bruise. What happened to me? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. If the Lord informs me one day that he sent an angel to help me at the bottom of that wall, I won't be surprised. Number two. But Scripture says even more than the fact that they are sent to serve us, they are sent to strengthen us. Take the example of Daniel, Daniel 10. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And take the example of our Lord Jesus, who in the humility of his flesh, after enduring the 40-day temptation of Satan in the wilderness, this is what Scripture says. Let's read it together from Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. The ancient church father, Chromatius, wrote, great is the grace of the angel toward all who believe in Christ. The angels carry their prayers to heaven. Around Christians, there is also the strong guard of the angels. They help each of us to be free from the traps of the enemy. For a human in his weakness could not be safe amid so many forceful attacks of the enemy. if he were not strengthened by the help of the angels, unquote. And yet their help to us is simply the gift of Christ, who is our salvation. And as Jesus saved you through his cross and through his resurrection, he has angels directly involved. So I conclude with my favorite biblical scene of Christ working through his angels. Our Lord is so mighty and all-sufficient to save you, to help you, that when it was time to defeat the devil, through his cross at Calvary, through his glorious resurrection, where he covered your sins with his blood, he also included the work of the holy angels. Michael, the Lord's archangel, also served us as part of this victory for your eternal life. Revelation 12, let's read it out loud together as God's people. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. In Revelation 20, please listen. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him. It's possible that this particular angel in this text is Jesus himself, which would mean that, in a way, the statues are wrong. Or an angel acting on the Lord's behalf, which would be consistent with the text in Revelation 12. But all of this simply points back to the victory of Jesus. The victory of Jesus for you. When sin and death and the devil, we can say, because of Christ, no longer have mastery over you. The Word of God and the holy angels say so. They too testify to our salvation in Jesus. The victory is your victory. We thank God for the angels. Now come to the feast. Receive the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. And as you do, the angels will do their appointed mysterious work to serve you, to strengthen you, to put in place the clear proclamation of the promise of the gospel for you. So again, let us thank God for the angels, but let us also imitate them. Worship Christ. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. We stand for the offertory.